Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Psalm 13 is just spoke to me this week. How a psalm can go from basically asking, where are you, God, to I trust in you, God. As we were talking after our service last Sunday, just south of us was a terrible tragedy. People were losing their lives, and a madman went in and killed families, everybody. And I wanted to address it. I really had a great sermon planned for this week. I really did. And it was going to be lighthearted and funny, and then this happened. And I think that it's our responsibility as a church, and it's my responsibility as a pastor to address the things that we don't want to address. And that was one of them. There are times when really disturbing things happen in our world, and it seems, I know that lately it seems that that has been getting more and more so. It kind of makes me wonder why. And I get angry. I'm a very spiritual person. I live my life in prayer. I have fallen on my face long enough to know that I can't get up without God, and yet there are times that I ask God, why? Why? And I get mad. Because I think about the people that lost their lives. And I hear about the debates. And I'm not here to debate the various things that people talk about. I'm not here to debate gun control. I'm not here to debate mental illness. I'm not here to debate any of that stuff. There are people that are debating that. I'm actually focused more on the why. And my why doesn't get answered in politics or a court of law or anything. Maybe some will think that I'm naive, but my question is, I want to go straight to the top, and I want to ask God, why? Why is this happening? And I've wrestled with this all week. I've wrestled with it. I've prayed about it. I've been a little on the quiet side, which is rare for me. And then I found this psalm, Psalm 13 here. And this is just an example of various psalms and various stories and various things that are in the Bible that talk about people questioning God. And some of them very emotionally questioning God. Some of them are angry at God. Some of them are at a loss with God. And it's sometimes I wonder the time period. If you look at Psalm 13, and he's questioning. He's saying, where are you? My enemies are coming over me. I am devastated. I don't know where you are. I feel like I'm abandoned. And then it goes right into, but I trust in you. And it even ends with, you've been good to me. Sometimes I wonder, I used to be a writer, and sometimes I still write some stuff. And sometimes you'll write a paragraph, and there'll be days, maybe even months, before you'll write the next paragraph. And when I think of the psalmist, I wonder, was there a time period in between that where he was or she was feeling very devastated, very turned, as if God had turned away? Was there a time period between that? And did something happen to where suddenly they have praise for God? Did they get a moment of reflection? Or is it permission for us to actually feel that at the same time? Is it permission for us to say, I love you, God, but I don't get it? I just don't understand what's going on here, God. You've got mass shootings over here. You've got people that have been gathering for concerts getting shot. You've got people that are going to nightclubs getting shot. You've got people that are in church getting shot. What the hell, God, is what I want to say. And I do say that because the Bible gives me permission to do that. The Bible is filled with stories of people that are saying, why? Why is this happening? And as much as I want to say, right now I can guarantee you that there are people in churches right now, there are clergy that are doing their best to answer why. Some of them are talking about certain things in the Bible of the fall of man in the book of Genesis. Well, we chose it. We put all the money that we had into this one couple, and they bit this apple and made God mad, and so that's why we're suffering now. That's not an answer for me. That's not an answer for me. There are some people that are actually irresponsible pastors, the ones that I would really like to personally punch in the face, that are saying it's because of certain things that we're doing currently that God is angry and we're feeling his wrath because we didn't either vote for this person or do that thing, that we sold a cake or didn't sell a cake and that's why we have a hurricane. Not a good answer for me. Not a good answer for me. As a pastor, I will tell you this, I don't know why bad things happen. I've studied scripture. I pray. I fast. It doesn't show, but I do fast. And I don't get the answers. No more than any of us do. There's nobody on this earth that can honestly say why somebody went into a church last week and killed people. Why churchgoers, half of that church is gone now, but by the rest of them today are mourning what happened just a week ago. There is no clergy in the world that can go up and say, well, this is why it happened. Because if we start to even say that, if we even try to even own that, then shame on us. Shame on us for even trying to go there. What I can tell you, though, as a pastor, is that I'm okay with being upset about it. I'm okay with being sad about it, and I'm okay with being angry about it. And the reason that I'm okay with it is because of things that were written thousands of years ago in Scripture that give us permission to do so. I believe that the Bible is inspired. I believe it was written by people that felt the presence of God. I can debate on other things and all that kind of stuff, but one thing that I do know is that the Bible is filled with story after story after story of people saying, it is okay to whatever you are feeling, share that with God. It is okay to do that. That's why, you know, in Christ, when he was hanging on the cross, devastated, beaten by the people and looked down at them and quoted scripture. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting a psalmist that was actually feeling devastated and alone by God. Christ is repeating that and giving us permission to feel that. And like this psalm, like this funny Psalm 13, at the end of the story, just before he takes his final breath, God looks at the people that have devastated him, that have spit on him, that are mocking him right as he's even saying it. He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Incredible. Incredible. In that time on the cross, Christ was showing us that it is okay to feel everything. Loss, devastation, pain, thirst. It's okay to even say that he's angry, upset, sad, scared. And it's also okay to say grace. But does that still answer why the bad things happen? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And I continue to wonder about that. There's another question I want to ask, though. Not just why bad things happen. How do we know bad things happen? How do we know that something bad has happened? What is in us that tells us that this is wrong, what happened last week. How do we know good from bad? Honestly. If it's survival of the fittest, then rightfully so, then somebody that is overpowering, that able to annihilate somebody else, well, that should be okay. The tiger should be able to eat the gazelle. Gazelle should be able to eat the rat. I don't know what gazelles eat. But survival of the fittest. If you've got it, take it. That's how we expand. That's how we move. But what tells us that that's wrong? Our very nature, this is mine. I get it. You don't get it because I'm more powerful than you. But something stops us from doing that and saying, no, that's not right. As a matter of fact, what I have should belong to somebody else. What is that in our makeup that tells us that even exists? And you can't tell me that. I know that there are people that will argue, well, that's in your upbringing. That's in your upbringing. But scientists have even shown that, cultural differences aside, people from other places, even as young as infants, know the difference between right and wrong. An infant knows the difference of somebody loving that infant and somebody not loving that infant. So what is this thing that we're born with that tells us that love is actually better even at a sacrifice of moving forward, and that somebody that has more weapons that goes in and is able to physically dominate somebody is wrong? I don't have the answer to that either, but I have a guess. I think that it's something that has been put inside of us. A little hint of what the kingdom of God is like. A little message that somebody has written down and stuck inside of our hearts. A little note that said, remember me. This world is a broken place, and it is an unforgiving place. And there are things that are bad to happen. But I want you to know what is bad so that you yearn for the good. I want you as kingdom builders to know what the kingdom of heaven is actually truly like. And it ain't this. I want you to be angry when you see something bad happen. I want you to be sad when you see someone hurt. I want you to feel hurt when someone else is hurt. I want to give you what God has, and that is a word called empathy. I want you to feel what other people feel so that you can reach out and say, that is not okay, but you are okay. I want you in this fixed world and this broken mess that we are in to say, there's better. And I want you to see that kind of stuff and get so upset about that kind of stuff that you react by loving your neighbor even more. I don't want you to turn it into something hatred. You know what? If you feel angry about it, you can come to me and you can tell me how angry you are about it. And then I want you to go and I want you to love your neighbor. I do know that every one of us has done something where we've bullied or stepped on somebody, or we've selfishly taken something, or we've done something wrong. And I do know that psychologists and studies of human behavior will tell us that oftentimes that when we react in a poor way toward our neighbor, it's because we're feeling bad inside. And I do know that God said, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you would yourself. That's the note. That's the note that he planted inside of us. Remember, the key, this you're going to run into some stuff that's really messed up. And just like on a computer, somebody sets a little email to fire off at a certain time. And when all tragedy goes through, he's telling us, don't forget, this is wrong. And the key to it, the key to this salvation, the key to stopping this world from controlling and killing and all of this kind of stuff, the key that is better than the survival of the fittest is have trust in me, love yourself, and then go love your neighbor. I don't know where I got that. I know a lot of my actions in my life have shown just the opposite, but I also know that I felt like crap every time I did one of those reactions because there was a program somewhere deep inside of my soul that was saying, hey, what you're doing there? Stop it. I don't know why bad things happen, but I do know that there's something inside of me that tells me what is bad and what is good. Call it a morality key or issue or maybe it's just a love note from God that says, you know what? In the world where there's an infant, a little baby, you ever have anyone's ever have an infant, you know that you can't feed them meat right away. You know, you can't take a kid that's 6 weeks old and feed her beef jerky. It's just not good. And that baby might be saying, why can't I have beef jerky? It smells good. I want beef jerky. Give me the beef jerky. Why, oh why, are you not allowing me to have this? And you could sit down and say, well, the digestive tract is undeveloped at this time, and if you eat it, you're going to make both of our lives very miserable, and it'll cause you pain, and it can also, but that infant is still not going to know what you mean by that. But that infant will know that it's loved. That infant will know that there is someone around that cares for that infant. I believe in a God that is much more smarter, has much more wisdom, much more maturity, is just a better everything than I am. I believe in a God that in comparison, I'm an infant. And so there might be some things that I'm willing to say, this makes me angry. I don't know the reason for this. But God can't explain some things to us. I'm willing to believe that right now. I really am. And believe it or not, I do find comfort in that. Because I do know that I am loved. I do know that I am loved. I cannot judge God by my own wits, because God's wits are better than mine. And so when bad things happen, all I can do is say, I don't get it, I don't understand it, and damn it, God, I'm mad at you. And God, just like the infant with the beef jerky, might say, that's okay. Can't explain it to you right now, but that's okay. But what I can tell you is that when you cry, I cry. I can tell you that I wish I could give you that beef jerky. I can tell you that when you're sad or hungry, I'm sad and hungry. I can tell you through Christ that I know what it feels like to feel betrayed, and I know what it feels like to be abandoned, and I know what it feels like to be forsaken. I can tell you that I know what you're feeling. And like a friend, I can tell you that you can come to me and share those feelings with me. I can tell you that. So my prayer is that in churches all across the land here, talking like I'm on Little House on the Prairie or something, as we take our wagons out there, my prayer is that the people that are talking to their churches right now are not trying to give a surface answer to a much deeper question. My prayer is that the people that are talking about all of this tragedy and stuff can rest assured that even though in the midst of all of this bad feeling that we do have a God that is still worth rejoicing, that we still have a God that loves us. And I'm a firm believer that you don't fight wrong with wrong, because there's a little note implanted inside of me that says love. Would you pray with me? Lord, I don't know why bad things happen. I still get frustrated with it. I still get angry. I get angry at you. I'm grateful that I have a God that is actually that approachable, that gives me permission to actually say that. More importantly, I'm grateful that I know what love is. I'm grateful that I know right from wrong. I'm grateful that even though there are miles between us, I have compassion for people I don't even know in a small church or anywhere else that tragedy has happened. And that comes from you. I do know that when there is tragedy, that you are there. I do know that when we feel bad, you are there. And I know that because in a sense, in an empathetic way, when bad things happen out there, I'm there. In my small way, in caring and in prayer and all of that, I'm there. And if I'm there, then I know that you've got to be there in a much better way than I am. Help us to be there, Lord. Help us to share our frustration with the questions that we can't get answers to, but help us celebrate and trust the love that you have for us. And help us to love you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And help us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. Amen.